Now, other than the conversation I had with the dear brother in Mississippi, that which prompted my thought and study and preparation of this message, there are several reasons why I'm interested in this subject. I'm personally and vitally interested in this subject, death, resurrection, and eternity, because I'm a dying man. Richard Baxter put it this way. He said, I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men. And David prayed, Lord, help me to know how frail I am. And again he said, teach me. I have to be helped and I have to be taught. I don't know these things by nature. Teach me, he said, to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. I've already reached 63. That's 63. God said 60. So I'm a dying man. I'm interested in my subject. Secondly, I have a congregation. The congregation which called me to be their pastor soon be 39 years ago. A congregation of dear people. Faithful, precious people who look to me to study God's Word. While they labor and work, they look to me to study and teach them the things of God concerning these important subjects. A preacher needs to have his ear toward heaven and his mouth toward the congregation. Woe be to the preacher who has his ear to the congregation. That's what Paul said in the last days, they'll come having itching ears and turn you away from the truth. We must have an ear toward God and a mouth toward the earth. Don't reverse it. And then thirdly, there's no reason for us to be ignorant concerning these things. Didn't Paul begin our text with these words, I would not have you to be ignorant? I would not have you to be ignorant? The Lord's given us some answers to our questions. If we'll take the time to read them, to study them, to hear them, to receive them. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, concerning them of your congregation who have died, who are asleep, and concerning what awaits the rest of us. We'll walk the same path. Job said, in a few years I shall go the way from which I shall not return. So God's told us, and I'm going to try to help you to understand some of these things. My first question is this: what is death? What is death? Well, very simply, there are three types of death taught in the Word of God. Three types of death. There is spiritual death. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. There's spiritual death. Secondly, there's physical death. It's appointed unto men once to die. And thirdly, there's eternal death. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. And then he talked about the resurrection. This is the first resurrection, And those who have part in the first resurrection, over them the second death hath no power. So understand that there's spiritual death, there's physical death, there's eternal death. And all of these came as a result of Adam's fall. All right? We had a representative. Now, whether we can explain it, whether we understand it, whether we like it, or whether we believe it, it's true that God only created one man. One man. Even the woman was not created. She was taken out of the man. God created one man. God dealt with this whole human race in one man. Everybody, no matter who that person is, the color of their skin, the place where they were born, the place where they live, every creature, every human creature on this earth can trace his roots back to Adam. Now, that's just so. That's the Word of God. And when God made that man, he made him holy and upright. He created man in his own image, one man, Adam. He then said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmate for him. And he put the man to sleep and took the woman out of his side. The man is the head of the woman like he's the head and the representative of the whole human race. When she got some ideas about the Word of God, she had to convince her husband, and he had to fall for her or the rest of us to fall. We fell in Adam. Let me show you that now. That's not supposition or theory. Romans chapter 5 is what God says. Romans chapter 5. Now turn over there. Romans chapter 5. You remember when God created Adam and he said to him, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Die. That's the first mention of death. Not that. You're going to die. You eat that tree, you disobey me, you sin against me, you're going to die. And when he died, we all died. See, when he stood, we stood. When he sinned, we sinned. When he fell, we fell. When he died, we died. We were all in him. There wasn't anybody here but Adam. And he's the representative of the whole human race. And as a result of his fall and of his sin and of his condition, he gave birth to a son. He gave birth to a son like himself. A fallen son. A corrupt son. A sinful son. Dead in trespasses and sin. And every son that was born from that father and the next father was born just like his father. Dead. Spiritually. With all of the potential to die physically and also the sin to suffer the second death. Romans 5:12. Listen. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered this world, and death. What is death? And death by sin. So death passed upon all men. When Adam fell, it passed on all men. Passed through him. For that all have sinned. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is what the Word of God teaches. Representation, federal headship, all created in Adam, all sinned in Adam, all died in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Listen. For since by man came death. By man. Adam. That's his name. Adam. Man. Red earth. Taken from the earth. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die. Die. In Adam. That's where. See, there are three types of death. There's spiritual death. There's physical death. There's eternal death. Second death. And all three of these are traced back to one moment in history, one time, when Adam fell and he died. All right, spiritual death. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Let's look at this spiritual death. Genesis chapter 3. Let's see if I can help you with it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis 3, verse 6. Now, here's a man God made, created, holy, perfect, upright. Naked, didn't even know he was naked. He never had any thought of sin. He never had any knowledge of sin. He never had any understanding of sin. He had a perfect holy nature. He walked with God. He was a genius. He named all the animals. He knew no fear. He knew no shame. He knew no guilt. He knew no depression. He knew no death. He was made in the image of God. Verse 6, though, but when the woman saw, Genesis 3:6, that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, lust of the flesh, lust of the mind, and the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them were both opened. Something happened. What happened? They died. God said, in the day you eat, you'll die. They didn't die physically. They started dying physically then. When sin came in and the ravages of sin and the results of sin, they started. But something happened to them right then. Right then. Their eyes were open. To what? To sin. To shame. To fear. To guilt. To whatever. The things that plague you right now. And they knew they were naked. They got a whole new attitude now, a whole new man, a whole new understanding. They think differently. You see, there's several forms of life. There's mineral life, plant life, animal life, human life, and spiritual life. The life of God, the life of holiness, the nature of God. And this is what Adam had till he fell, and the light went out. He lost spiritual life. He retained human life. And he began quit thinking like God, started thinking like a human, like a creature. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They're shame. Holiness, there's no shame in holiness. There's no guilt, fear. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife ran from the presence of God. Holiness seeks God. Holiness is God. He doesn't run from God. And they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. They're fools now. They're ignorant. How do you hope to hide from God behind a tree? They lost all understanding of God. And the Lord said unto Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. This man never knew fear. I was naked. I hid myself. Now watch this. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the tree? Now, God never asked a question for information. Every time God asks a question, he wants you to express just what you're thinking. Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He knew where his brother was. But he wanted that man to condemn himself out of his own mouth. And he asked Adam, he said, have you eaten of the tree I commanded you? Now, here's what holiness, here's what spiritual life would do if spiritual life were charged. It'd say, yes, sir, I was wrong. I was guilty. I sinned. I'm sorry. I seek your mercy. That didn't come out of Adam's mouth. When God said, have you eaten the tree? The man said, the woman. She gave it to me. I didn't do anything. It's all her self-righteous. See what? You see, this something happened. And this something that happened is not physical death. The man was standing there talking. He wasn't dead physically. He didn't die late 100 years later. But he died spiritually. And that's the mess we're in right now. We're just like him. We're ashamed. We go about to cover our own, we justify ourselves and try to cover our own sins. We blame somebody else. That's how the psychiatrists make all their money, giving you somebody to blame, your mama, your daddy, or your environment, or something. They were foolish. They tried to hide from God. They ran from God. There's no divine life here. That's human. That's human, carnal, natural. That's the reason we need to be born again. All right, secondly, physical death. Turn to Genesis 5 while you're over there. Let's look at this, Genesis 5. Got it? Genesis 5. Stay with me now. Verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. He died physically. Verse 8, and all the days of Seth, his son, were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, and all the days of Enos, 905 years, and he died. Verse 14, all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And it goes on down in that chapter, and he died. All the days of dear brother Barnard were 65 years, and he died. And all the days of brother Mahan may be 65, 66, 67, whatever, but he's going to die. That's physical death, and you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and he dies. And that's what came from that episode in the garden. Spiritual death, physical death. Now then, Revelation 20, verse 14. Here's the third death. Revelation 20. Would you go over there with me for the moment? Revelation 20. Now, I've been truthful and honest with the Word so far, haven't I? That's what it says. That's what the Word of God declares. All right, Revelation 20, verse 14. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Second death. This follows that spiritual death and that physical death. There's a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's eternal. See, the rich man in hell cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down to touch my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames. And Abraham said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. No man can come from us to you or from you to us. It's fixed. It's fixed. It's eternal death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. All right, my second. Now, that's what death is. It's spiritual, physical, and there's an eternal death awaiting the unbelievers. My second question, is there no hope? Can a person be delivered? Can we escape the condemnation, the sentence? Can we live again spiritually? Can we escape the second death? Yes. Yes, that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world. He said, this is what he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned, already under judgment, already under the condemnation, already under the sentence of death. Christ didn't come to condemn us. He came that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. Now, let's go back to Romans again. Romans chapter 5. That's the chapter that talks about identification, representation, imputation, impartation, federal headship. That first man, Adam. You with me now? Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. Listen. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned. Death reigns, spiritual death, physical death. It reigns today from that one man's offense. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign not in death, but in life by one Jesus Christ. By Adam came death, by Christ came life. By man came death, by man, the God-man came life. Satan, far as I know, spoke three times in the Bible. I know he must have spoken a whole lot of times, I know that. As far as I know, recorded, and I know different representations, but Satan himself, as far as I know, spoke three times. One time he spoke in the garden. He spoke to man about God. He said, hath God said you shall not eat of the tree? The woman said, that's right. He said, God lied to you. God lied to you. You won't die. And that's when he spoke to man and accused God. That's what he did. He said, God's motives are all wrong. He knows if you eat that tree, you'll be like God. God doesn't want to share his glory. Second time he spoke was in heaven. And he spoke to God about man. When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came among them. You see, he used to inhabit that place when he was Lucifer, the archangel. Well, he came this time by God's permission. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job a righteous and upright man that hates evil and loves me?" Satan spoke again. This time he spoke to God about man. And he said, "I'll tell you why Job loves you. You've blessed him. You've hedged him about. Take away what he has, what you've given him, he'll curse you to your face. Job's a liar. Job's a liar." God said, "All right, do what you want to." And it didn't work. So Satan came back, and God said, "What about Job?" "Ah," he said, "skin for skin. You took away his outward blessing, but you touch his flesh and he'll curse you." He's a phony, Job is. See, Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. Well, he spoke the third time. I'm glad he did. He met the God-man. He met the God-man in that garden of temptation. And he spoke to Christ. And therefore it was all settled right there. Christ said, "Satan came to me and found nothing in me. And I put him to flight. I judged him and cast him out." And I'll tell you this, that's where the life is. He met us and cursed God. He met God and cursed man. But when he met Christ, him who hath the power of death was conquered. Listen to verse 18. "Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life." Verse 19, "By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. By the obedience of one, shall the many be made righteous." There you have it right there. There you have it. Life in Christ. That's why he came. That's why he came. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. You remember I went over there a while ago, by one man, death. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this again. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. "For since by man came death," 1 Corinthians 15, 21, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all who are in Christ shall be made alive." We're born again of the Spirit of God, life in Christ Jesus. We have victory over the second death because our Lord said in the garden when he prayed, he said, "Father, you've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." Eternal life. No second death. You see that? Spiritual life in Christ. He's restored us. We're born of the Spirit of God. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And he's restored us the life of God. And watch this. We have that heavenly nature, that new life. We also have human life. And there's a conflict and warfare between the two that Adam didn't know before he fell. We still have the flesh. Understand? Paul talked about the war between the flesh and the spirit. This flesh knows shame. But he that believeth on the Son shall never know shame. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we know shame before people, but I have no shame before God. Christ has put away my sins. I have peace with God. Understand that? I have guilt feelings over what I think, what I say, what I do. But I stand before God in Christ, in that spiritual new man, without guilt. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see what I'm saying? And on this earth, we're defeated and we're depressed so often. You just drive in your car, you run into enough problems. On your job, you're defeated and a lot of times and you... and things don't turn out like you want them to turn out, and things, that's just flesh. That's par for the course, isn't it? That's flesh. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory in Christ our Lord. This spiritual life knows no defeat because it's in Christ. Now someday, I'm going to lay aside this flesh, and I won't be anything but holy. No guilt, no shame, no fear, no despondency, no depression. No, I'm just nothing but like God. Understand what I'm saying? Even a believer who has life, spiritual life restored, because of this, like Paul summed it up in Romans 7, he said, the things I would do, I do not. The things I would not do, I do. I love the law of God, but I find another law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me down into captivity to the law of sin and death. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be unto God in Christ the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? We lost spiritual life in Adam, but in Christ our Lord, it's been restored. But we're carrying around this same old man, this same old body of flesh. It's in direct conflict. Oh, I would be, David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in your likeness without this body. That's what he's talking about. All right, now, so spiritual death is gone. We're alive in God, in Christ. Physical death, the second death is gone, but physical death is still with me. It's still with me. Two of them been taken care of. I'm alive in Christ, and I'll never suffer eternal condemnation. But physical death still with me. But now, wait a minute. Physical death has taken on for me a different perspective. It's taken on for me in a different light altogether. In other words, used to be because I spiritually dead, when I died physically, then I'm going to hell and eternally die. But not anymore. Physical death, instead of the end, it's the beginning. Instead of dreading it, Paul said, I really, being honest with you, desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, honestly, I'm in a quandary. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but it's expedient for you that I remain. Because I'm important to you and to your well-being and to your spiritual welfare and to the care that God's given me over the church. He said, it's expedient for you, not for me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But you know something? Death takes on a different light because I'm never going to attain my goal of being like Christ and being rid of this flesh until I die. It's just something I got to pass through. I've got to, like when I was overseas in the Navy in World War II, we were in Japan, and I told you this before the points came up, and finally came my turn to go home. But between me and home was a long journey. And I mean, some of you fellas rode those ships. It was a long journey. I talked about going to Australia, taking 13 hours. It took a month to come over here on that slow boat, stopping here and there and yonder. But I was willing to go. I was willing to walk up that gangplank, weren't you, and get on, because y'all flew home in Vietnam War. Y'all didn't have to ride those planes. But walk up that gangplank, get on that ship, and suffer. And someday I've got to walk the gangplank and go through the valley to get home. But it'll be worth it. You see, turn to 1 Corinthians 15 again. I'm going to answer some questions here. We got to die to get our new body. We got to die to get our new home. We've got to die to get to be like Christ. Got to. Want to. It's all right. My Lord died. He died. I won't have to die like he died under the wrath of God. I won't have to die like he died, an ignominious, shameful, humiliating death. My death will be a coronation. My Lord died and laid in a tomb, just like I will. And because he lives, I'll live. As he came out, I'll kill. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 37, verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. In other words, Paul is saying here to the people who ask that question, well, how are we going to live after we die? He said, you got a grain of corn in your hand, a shriveled, wrinkled, old grain of corn that you got from last year's crop. Been around long enough, it's lost all of its beauty. It's lost all of its usefulness. It's lost its nourishment. It's just withered and dried. He said, now, in order for that corn to realize the victory of a new stalk, you got to put it in the ground. It's got to die. So dig you a hole and put it in there and cover it up. And it dies and rots. And then that full stalk of corn comes forth. Now watch it. Verse 37. And that which thou sowest, you don't sow the body that shall be. You sow bare grain. It may be wheat, it may be some other grain, but God gives it a body as it pleases him. Every seed his own body. You don't take a green stalk. Go down to the store and buy a stalk of corn with the ears all on it and dig a furrow and lay that stalk of corn in it. All you plant's a little shriveled, withered, useless seed. And it goes in the ground and dies, and coming up is a beautiful stalk of corn with those green leaves and all that fruit, and you say, man, a lot of difference in that and this. Yes, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing as corn. And that's what's going to happen to this body here. It gets old and wrinkled and shriveled and useless, and it dies and you bury it. But when God calls it out of the tomb, it ain't coming out that way. It's coming out flesh and bones. But look at verse 39. But all flesh is not the same flesh. You say, you mean in our glorified bodies we're going to be flesh and bone? Yeah. You mean like this flesh? No. There's several kinds of flesh. Use the word flesh. Well, look here what he said. He said, there's flesh of men, there's flesh of beasts, there's flesh of fish, there's flesh of birds. My birds out there have flesh. It's not like mine. But animals have flesh, but not like mine. Mine's infinitely above the flesh of an animal or a fish. And when I come out of the grave with that new flesh, ain't going to be these brown spots on it. There won't be any contamination in it. It's still going to be flesh. But, oh, you've never seen anything like it. You can read about it over here in Luke. You can read about it over here in Luke 24. Listen. Luke 24, verse 36. Luke 24, 36. Listen. It's the disciples there in the upper room when the Lord appeared to them, Luke 24, 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This is after he rose from the grave. And he said unto them, peace be still. And they were scared and afraid, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, it's I. Touch me. Handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me have. Touch me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said, have you got any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and stood there and ate it. That's flesh and bones. And that's what you're going to be when you rise from the tomb, right there, like him. That's right. There it is. I just read it to you. Don't dread death. Our Lord calls the death of a believer sleep. He doesn't say death except when you force him to. He said, Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples said, well, let's go sleep with him then. If he's sleeping, he's all right.
And our Lord had to say, well, he's dead. For you fellas that don't understand anything, he's dead, dead.
And that's what Paul said, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep. We'll not precede them which are asleep. It's always sleep. You don't mind tonight, I'm getting to where I used to be a late night person. I'd watch the late news and sit up 12, 1. No more, believe me. You get old, you get sleepy. 10 o'clock, I'm ready to go to bed. And I used to hate to go to bed. I used to hate to go to bed. I wanted to stay up. Afraid I'd miss something, I guess. But I love to go to bed now and go to sleep. And that's the way death's going to be. I'm going to go to sleep. Don't be afraid. He giveth his beloved sleep. And you say, well, I'm worried about the ones I leave. He'll handle them. They'll be all right. He can take a lot better care of them than you can. That's exactly right. You just go on to sleep and wake up in the morning, and you're going to have a new body. You say, well, what about between the resurrections? What about I die today now, right now, and go, the body goes to the ground? Am I going to be a disembodied spirit? No. I can't answer the question, but I do know this, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven, and we'll be clothed upon with his beauty. But someday he's going to raise this body. Someday he's going to raise this body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. You still got it there in your lap. Verse 42. So is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption. Corrupt flesh is raised incorruptible flesh. It's sown in dishonor. And our flesh is dishonorable. But it's going to be raised glorified flesh. It's sown in weakness. It's going to be raised in power. I know some of you men here, you used to be so strong. And this is one of the things that bothers you. You get old, you get weak. You're going to be strong again. You're going to be strong. Oh, strong in mind. What that old preacher say that time? He said, I can see through my bifocals and my hearing aid works just fine and I can live with my dentures, but I sure do miss my mind. We're going to have a new mind. Oh, boy, genius. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, going to be like Christ. That's right. And we're going to walk on a new earth. You say, we're just going to flit around and hit them on clouds and play harps. That's ignorance. Our Lord said it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city descending out of heaven, coming down here. There's not a thing wrong with this earth that couldn't be cured by taking sin out of it. This is a beautiful world. Those streams and trees and flowers and vegetables and things that God, mountains and valleys and rivers and even the deserts are pretty. My God made them. And when he takes this old earth and burns it up and creates a new one, it's going to be beyond description. And I'm going to live on this new earth in flesh and bones. That's right. That's what this book says. We've allowed these foolish spiritualists and mediums and so forth, they're fools is what they are. When a man dies, the spirit goes to God who gave it, and the body goes to the ground. So don't expect them to come knocking on the door. They're not wandering around in here looking for a place to stay either. No such thing as a haunted house. That's stupid. Absolutely stupid. May be demon-possessed now. Those of our loved ones who've gone, they're with our Lord in glory, clothed upon with our house from heaven. And one day God's going to raise that body. And you say, well, brother man, will we retain our identity? Why, certainly. Moses was Moses. When he came down here to earth and talked to the Lord, he was Moses. That's how he left and that's how he came back. Elijah was Elijah. Our Lord came back after he rose from the grave, and the disciples, though he was so glorified and so beautiful and so unexpected, they didn't know him. After he appeared to them, he said, touch me, it's I myself, he said. And boy, when we rise from the grave, we're going to be Richard, I myself. I know we got a lot to be ashamed of ourselves now, but that's going to be all in him. And we're going to say unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. You going to retain any memory of this earth? Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin. Sound like it, doesn't it? But there'll be pleasant memories. Because he washed us. Oh, I know in part, I prophesy in part, I see through a glass dimly, but then face to face, I'm going to know as I have been known. Yeah, we're going to retain our identity. We're going to know each other. You say, what about earthly relationships? What about husband and wife? Turn to Matthew 22. What about son and daughter? Now, I got a precious son in glory that I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of times about seeing him again. And I think like a human. I think like a daddy, like you think like a wife, or think like a husband, or think like a mama. But Matthew 22 is a fellow asked our Lord about this. Verse 28, there was a woman that had two or three husbands, and this fellow asked him, Matthew 22:28, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven? They all were married to her. And Jesus said, you do err. You're making a mistake here now, because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. The power of God. There's a clue there now. The scriptures and the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. I believe I'll see my son. I believe you'll see your husbands. But no woman is going to be in subjection to a man in heaven. She's in subjection to Christ. No woman's going to wear a man's name in heaven. We're going to wear his name. He's our husband. He's our brother, sister. And other believers are our brothers and sisters. And that relationship, you say, well, if I saw that person, you know that I'd think back, this is my husband, or this is my wife, or this is my son. You err not knowing the power of God. The power of God to give you a new perspective, a new understanding, a new laying hold of this thing. And you'll see that person and love that person and know that person. But that relationship that will be retained by the power of God is the relationship in Christ. See that? The relationship in Christ. One day our Lord was preaching. And so a crowd of people. And somebody came in and said, your mother and brothers and sisters are out here wanting to see you. And he said, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Who's my sisters? These who do the will of God, the same, are my mother, my brother, my sister, my father, and so forth. I can't explain that. I just know that's what the Lord said. That in heaven, they're not. And these babies that have died, they're in glory. But you're not going to hold a baby in heaven, would you? You wouldn't want to be a baby in glory, would you? No, you want to be like Christ. You want to be full mature and full grown and spiritually strong. You want to be like Christ. Well, I want that baby to be like Christ too. And you'll accept it that way because of the power of God. See, this is where we err. Where we've got to start is with the scriptures. We start with what God says about any of these things. Death or representation or imputation or life or resurrection. We start with what God says. It's just like flesh. How can flesh be glorified? How can... This flesh, when I prick it, it hurts. It won't hurt then. This flesh gets sick. I have to stay out of the cold. But those things won't matter. Scripture says that, and God in His power is able to do that. And He said, well, how can I meet my son in glory and him not be my son? He'll be your mother, brother, sister, son, and everything in Christ. Well, how can that thinking be changed? That thinking going to be so elevated by the power of God and the knowledge of God and think like God, you'll even be able to say hallelujah to the condemnation of the wicked. I can't do that now. I can't do that now. That's reading Paul said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren. I hate to see them go to hell. But one day, if God sends a man to hell, Paul's going to say hallelujah. You believe that? That's the power, not me, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. You see, there's a man in glory right now. And that's a glorified man at the right hand of the majesty in glory. Perfect man. Mary's not his mother. Joseph and Judy are not his brother. I'm his brother. You're his brother. See that? The same are my mother's brothers and sisters. And when we get to glory, and I know a lot of you sitting out there thinking right now about precious ones, same ones I'm thinking about. But that relationship is going to be so infinitely beyond this human relationship by the power of God that you wouldn't have it any other way. So infinitely beyond anything. That's what Paul said when he came back. He said, I went to the third heaven and I heard things I can't tell you about because you couldn't understand it. But I do know this. It'll be better than your wildest imagination. I'm kind of anxious, aren't you? I know. We're bogged down. We're held down. We've got all these things and all. But I tell you, I believe as we get a little older, the Lord kind of lets us let these things go, don't you think? A man said to Spurgeon one time, I don't have dying grace. Spurgeon said, are you dying? He said, no. He said, well, you don't need it. It'll come when you need it. It'll come when you need it. And I'll tell you this, the grace to let us go will come when you need it.